News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:07. I'm going to go over a laundry list of some of the things that happened in the war in Iran over the weekend and then get to kind of a reaction that's getting a lot of attention from historian.
Oh, VDH, huh?
Yeah, Victor Davis Hanson. Mm-hmm. He's at Stanford University.
Well-known historian.
Well-known on wars and the Middle East. And his take on things are, they're not lukewarm. He's got something to say, and it's not like he's not a hyperbolic guy. He's just calling it like he sees it. So after we get done talking about what we know has happened in the last 3 days or so, mm-hmm. up until this moment, now, as Dalton's got some stuff for us, we'll look at Hanson's reaction mm-hmm. to it all right now. And this is going to be a very well thought out gentleman, scholar. The way he sees things right now is pretty interesting. So you had Iran's Natanz nuclear enrichment facility was hit by an airstrike on Saturday. I guess that was from Israel, though I don't think they ever said it was them. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever took credit or admitted they did it. The Pentagon was pretty much had nothing to say about it. So take that for what you want. Overnight into the morning on Friday and into Saturday, heavy airstrikes in the capital of Tehran. Also, U.S. President Donald Trump on Friday said he was considering winding down military operations. Okay. He's got 2,500 additional Marines in the region. That does not sound like a wind down, right? Mm. So you have all these messages and then actions coming out as well. Britain, meanwhile, condemned Iran. Their reckless attacks after its military fired missiles at the UK-US airbase in the island of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. I think it was notable how far that was. That was like 2,500 miles?
2,500 kilometers, I think. And
4,000 kilometers.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, that brings a lot of Europe into the fold.
Like, it does. Hey,
they didn't know that Iran had that kind of distance.
And now, now we're learning that they do, right? Friday, British government said the U.S. bombers can also use the U.K. base, including Diego Garcia. Well, I think there's the next day that Iran flexed a little bit and took a shot at it. They didn't hit it, by the way. So just one thing after another going on. The U.S. and Israel have offered shifting rationales for the war, from hoping to format an uprising that topples Iran's leadership to eliminating its nuclear and missile program. So, you know, all the rhetoric and all the action, it's a lot to either keep up with. I would say that's true. And it's a lot for the average person to try and analyze any sort of conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to, I guess all of us just kind of depend on people who are experts. And I think that Victor
Davis Hanson.
Davis Hanson, he qualifies as one of those. He's a historian, Stanford University professor, grew up on a farm out there. He's really a very humble, wonderful guy. Just had a major operation. I think he was recovering from it.
Tumor removed. Yeah, cancerous tumor.
So here's his points, Dalton. See what you think about this. So he's analyzing all the players. As far as the Europeans, now they've just jumped in. They, and not just them, but other nations, Japan as well. These 20 nations are now saying, okay, we are now...
we're going to help you clear the Strait of Hormuz.
We're ready to go. We're ready to help in the Strait of Hormuz, which that was not the case, right?
Right.
So now they're saying that they will chip in. You know, we had them almost drag. You have to drag Starmer to a boxing match, I think, let alone a war. So he said, the Europeans never touch a conflict until they smell victory.
This is what Victor Davis Hanson is saying. Okay.
Over the weekend. So he's saying that the Europeans see a victory. Early on, crickets. Now, they're quietly moving assets and offering support. Pure calculation. That's on part of the Europeans. This is all calculation. They've read the battlefield and decided which side wins. So he says the Europeans are now saying America's about to win. The Gulf Petro states, so again, he's analyzing their actions. Saudis, Emirates, Qataris survive by reading the room perfectly. They're expelling Iranian attachés, silently intercepting Iranian missiles over their capitals, and the the UAE just reaffirmed its $1.4 trillion investment commitment to the U.S. in the middle of this war.
Hmm.
That's like signing a player to a long-term contract.
Yeah.
Because he's having a good year. He's like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
So he said, these are not gestures. They're bets.
Hmm.
And they're all in on America. So you have the Europeans, and now you have what's going on with the Gulf states. That story we talked about from Al Jazeera last week that was complimentary of the U.S. strikes.
Yeah.
He says that is... That's
a tell.
A tell. And then the military reality, A-10 Warthogs and Apache gunships are now flying strike missions inside Iranian airspace at will. You know a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
These low-flying platforms only appear when enemy air defenses are effectively gone. So that means they are, in Iran, gone. And we can fly over there anytime we want. Sounds crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It confirms what's really happening on the ground. Iran's only play left is rope-a-dope, drag it out, hope U.S. public opinion flips, and pray midterms pressure Trump to quit.
Yeah, but the rope-a-dope can be a hell of a strategy, especially for a country or a fighting people that have nothing left, right?
Right, right. So, but here's his verdict. So here's what Victor Davis Hanson has got to say. If Trump sees it through, and he will, the regime falls. Not in years, pretty soon. And bottom line, he says, watch what people do, not what they say. And you just mentioned what the Iranians said today, right? Like,
yeah.
Trump's saying, we've had all these talks that have been, are
productive
leading us somewhere.
Conversations, I think, were the words that Trump used. Productive talks.
So he's extending that deadline to Wednesday night rather than tonight.
Yeah.
And then he's going to do a number on their energy and water, right?
Yep. So Trump said, 5 days. After productive talks and all caps Truth Social post, he said the U.S. and Iran had, quote, very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East. After that, oil prices dropped quickly.
Yeah.
But then Tehran comes out and says,
the opposite.
Let's see here if I can find the exact. Yeah, Iran Foreign Ministry denied it was in talks with the U.S., saying there was no dialogue. Quote, yes, there are initiatives from regional countries to reduce tensions, and our response to all of them is clear. We're not the party that started this war, and all these requests should be referred to Washington. And I believe right after Trump said they've had these productive talks and that he would push back his deadline, you had Israel just raining down on Tehran.
Oh, capital city, yeah.
Pretty strong strikes over the capital city there.
So where are we? And I don't think in Trump's, in that latest post, I don't think he said, like, we're calling off the dogs here. I don't think there's any mention of that.
Mm-mm.
It's just that the deadline's been extended. So if we hear more reports of the U.S. being very aggressive in Iran, I think that's to be expected in between now and Wednesday. Take the heat
just
off.
Not particularly on those energy grids.
Exactly, fields. Exactly. Yeah. So the bottom line, according to Victor Davis Hanson, watch what people do, not what they say. Every player with skin in the game is betting on America. The signals don't lie. So this is somebody who is, in my mind, very highly respected and held in high regard when it comes to issues like this, how wars end, how wars in the Middle East in particular go. He's kind of a, you know, there's going to be opinions around the board and around educators and people who consider themselves experts. But his is a big opinion.
Definitely. Yeah, it's certainly notable what he has to say.
Yeah.
And I it feels at this point, too, that and it may have been at the beginning of the war already like this, but Israel certainly seems to have a different end that they're working towards regarding Iran than Trump has in mind for America. Because right now it seems like Israel just wants to kill everything and everybody,
mm-hmm.
if they can. And Trump seems to be, you know, weighing public opinion in America, where people, I think the latest polls are showing most people are fine with trying to, I don't want to completely say regime change because a lot of people are against that, but a majority of Americans are okay with taking action regarding the Iranian regime, but maybe they're just not happy with how we've been going about it. And they certainly don't want boots on the ground. I mean, that is number one. We've been in too many Middle Eastern quagmires, mm-hmm. and people don't want to see that again, especially after Trump ran so hard in his campaign saying that we would not necessarily be doing that. But you look at a senator like Lindsey Graham, and he's wanting boots on the ground ASAP. He
take Karg Island.
Yesterday called for the Marines to seize Karg Island, and that's that main oil export hub for Iran. It's about 20 miles off the coast of the mainland. And he was on Fox News yesterday, quote, "We did Iwo Jima, we can do this." Some people upset about that line. He said, "Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil. Control that island and let this regime die on a vine." He thinks that's the last stand, is taking Karg Island, and the regime won't make it through that. He was asked about an analysis by The Atlantic magazine,
yep.
where they said in The Atlantic that an invasion of Karg could become a, quote, "grinding war of attrition." Graham said, "I'm sort of tired of all this armchair quarterbacking."
Well, that's what he's, like doing.
He's doing too. Yeah, he said, "I trust the Marines, not that guy." Regarding whoever wrote The Atlantic's pessimistic assessment,
yeah,
quote, "I trust DOD. We've got two Marine Expeditionary Area units sailing to the island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this. The Marines. My money's always on the Marines." And he got quite the response from that too. You can imagine from some anti-war or maybe anti-boots on the ground Republicans like Nancy Mace, who said, Graham has one foreign policy, send someone else's kids to war. She said he was wrong about Iraq, he was wrong about Afghanistan, now he's wrong about Iran. And Anna Paulina Luna, congresswoman from Florida, Air Force veteran, said she was deeply upset by Graham's comments. Quote, "I am deeply upset at the lack of respect for life Senator Lindsey Graham is displaying when talking about our troops. He's acting as if they are expendable cattle," she said. "This is unacceptable and dark. There were over 26,000 American casualties at Iwo Jima." That's what she wrote on X.
I didn't. That was ill-advised for sure. There's a lot of people who are commenting on Graham. The other thing, a couple of things is, too, that as far as the polls, MAGA people are... MAGA, if you identify as MAGA, you're pretty much all in on this, nearly 100% MAGA.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of people that are MAGA that voted for Trump that aren't happy at all with this.
So I don't know where those numbers came from, but way high on MAGA, still high if you're a Republican. What's dragging the numbers down are independents and certainly Democrats that are 100% against all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, too...
That's what they say, by the way. If it were Obama or Biden doing this, the Democrats would be fully on board.
I agree. So, also, the other thing, the way regimes fall, is you have things going on behind the scenes. Israel's been so amazingly good with their intel in that country.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get intel from countrymen because 80% of the country hate the regime. So, you don't really have to pull teeth to get them to give you some intel. That's one thing I read over the weekend, that they're there to give you the intel. If you meet the right people, get the right information. So what's going on behind the scenes with regards to trying to kind of get the field ready for some sort of meaningful regime change? What's happening grassroots, behind the scenes, however you want to say it,
well,
to get guns in the hands of the right people or have enough of the security guard to flip?
And there have been some reports this week that they were saying intelligence weeks ago were saying that there would not be the right conditions for a popular uprising. Like, even though you had the protests that mm-hmm. were, millions and millions of people out there and then tens of thousands of people killed
yep.
by the regime. They, and who knows, there's so many leakers still in Trump's White House. There's a lot of people saying, hey, we knew then that if we acted now that there wouldn't be anyone ready to take control and seize control from the regime. Trump really does not think that the exiled crown prince should
be
the
answer.
Yeah,
he's
not
the answer.
I think they're making fun of him kind of behind his
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who's supposed to be in charge, whether they want to see a Venezuela-like kind of handover where you keep some people in the regime that swear loyalty to the U.S. whether you want to have them. But another.
And who's in charge? Who are you having talks with? You eliminated so many people. Do you have a roster? Like, okay, now it's this guy. You know, how do the U.S. How does the U.S. even, and Israel for that matter, even know who now you get a chance? You should talk to that's a power player.
Well, I don't know. And here's another kind of side story that may, in the end, be bigger than the war itself. And that's the role that AI is or could be playing in this whole thing. Mm. There were even more reports over the weekend about Palantir, which is the kind of data gathering operation that pretty much has every bit of information on everybody in the world, from what I understand. And Anthropic, which, remember the fallout Anthropic had with the Trump administration just before the war began, but using their Claude AI, mixing that with Palantir.
Giving you the right answers,
they'll
right?
find anyone in the world, find out where you are. And they said, I guess these reports that were coming out this weekend, that initial wave of strikes that were so successful at the beginning of this war, all of that was mapped out and planned using these AI tools, and that it worked so well that they immediately decided to go all in on using that for the future. So, you know, what does that mean for the future of
and now our drone,
of everything?
AI for sure. I mean, massive change in the world, but you know the role that drones are playing in this war too, on both sides right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little larger than we'd suspected when things kicked off, right?
Yeah, I mean, Iran, they've made thousands and thousands of them for Russia and Ukraine war. And what's the future like? 251-343-0106. We have a lot of text to get to on the way next.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Was that the house fire that had all that stuff going on? It was like a dramatic movie scene?
Yeah.
We'll get to that after 8:30, Bill. That is crazy.
Yeah,
Mobile.
A fire yesterday morning, and then a baby was born. I have to lay that out for you. Incredible work by Mobile Fire and Rescue.
Yeah.
With a couple really strange back-to-back incidents that happened yesterday. Yeah, we'll get into that, and also plenty of texts we can get to, too. Many of you pointing out the poll that Dan was referencing there, about 100% MAGA support for Trump in this war. It's this he's kind of taken, you know, CNN and become their main viral star, the pollster there, this Harry Enten.
Yeah.
He's had
super
really,
nerd.
Yeah, funny bits here over these last couple of years. But he pointed out this poll that they had, and it says MAGA GOP view of Trump, 100% support.
Of his actions in Iran?
Among just in general.
Okay.
Approve of Trump 100% among Republicans who identify as MAGA. Now, we all know that polling, it can miss, right? I'm just telling you for a fact that it's not 100% approval by those who are Make America Great Again supporters of Trump. Their biggest issue with fighting in the Middle East is how is this making America great? And I think if you had, you know, just let me speak personally, as someone who is MAGA, I think it's fair to say I'm MAGA. I'm on the fence on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, I'm not MAGA, and I'm not on the fence.
You're all for it?
I'm for it.
But, you know, you could be for it, but are you for boots on the ground? Are you for staying there for months and months and months? There's just so much that's unanswered that we don't know about. If you are MAGA, give us our own poll here. 251-343-0106. Do you support the war with Iran? News right now.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Right now, time to ride on over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, and just about as good as the weather this weekend. I mean, what an incredible weekend. I'm sure you had a lot of folks showing up at McConnell, and plenty more where that came from. What are people looking at when they come to McConnell?
They're looking at new Yukons, pickup trucks. Everybody's wanting pickup trucks. I got a couple of phone calls over the weekend wanting pickup trucks. I guess it's getting to be boating season. Need to pull those boats and put them in the water. But yeah, we got a great selection of half ton and three quarter ton trucks out here. Got a couple of one tons too. So got that 15 passenger van on the used car side. Anybody looking for one of those? We got a truckload of used cars. It came in late over the weekend, so we'll have those out front. I think there's four or five new trucks and a couple of SUVs, and just got a great selection. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com, and if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
Yep, y'all make it easy on the customer, whether they're coming in to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle or get their vehicle worked on. That's what you guys are great at. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank you. Come see us.
That's Louie Ratta. Go see him. You'll find him on at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
I'm going to talk about what's going on at airports. This sounded just like a notion or an idea over the weekend, but now it looks like it's actually going to roll into play with
ICE
helping out with the airport security and the TSA. Elon Musk offering to pay TSA workers. Well, that came out this weekend, too. This was late last night. Really sad. Air Canada Express regional jet struck a Port Authority vehicle on the ground after landing at New York's LaGuardia Airport late last night. Killed the two pilots. It just kind of ripped off the nose of the plane. So those poor pilots. And I heard some radio reports. The radio, they were talking to the guys in the truck, in the ambulance, and the fire truck, whatever exactly it is, but that's a Port Authority vehicle. They were making contact with them, not necessarily at least the radio transmission I heard was between the tower and the truck, and he was like saying, hey, truck, slow down. Hey, no. Don't keep going forward. And the collision happened.
Must have been a heck of a collision.
Oh, my gosh. Because if you see the pictures of what the jet looks like now, the two pilots killed, according to Port Authority Executive Director Catherine Garcia, said that more than 40 passengers, crew members, and also aircraft rescue and firefighting officers that were in that truck were transported to local hospitals. I don't know what the latest is on LaGuardia being open. That's a pretty busy airport. I think 2 o'clock this afternoon is one report that I saw. I don't know where we're at now.
And that's one of the 13 airports that ICE was going to begin helping TSA with those lines today. So
maybe whenever LaGuardia opens, I guess ICE is going
to
be there.
Yeah, to help. But so yeah, here's more on that. So at about 11:37 p.m. last night, an air traffic controller cleared the rescue truck to cross runway 4 moments earlier. Pilots on a departing United flight had declared an emergency after crew reported feeling ill from an odor in the cabin. So this is kind of tying in two airline stories here, communication between air traffic and those that are on the runways. And then they've been talking more and more about these, you know, emissions or whatever it is that are in these cabins that are making so many people ill. And they're worried it's way worse than that for some folks who've been working in the airline industry for a long time, causing some severe health issues.
That's pretty interesting right there. So they're responding to that. They're trying to get to that jet, correct? Mm-hmm. That was the emergency.
So it says here, the audio from air traffic control detailed the moments leading up to the collision. Truck 1 and company crossing 4 at Delta, the fire truck confirmed to the air traffic control tower. 7 seconds later, the air traffic controller comes back on the radio. Stop, 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 stop. Truck 1, stop, stop. Over and over. Stop, truck 1, stop. Yep. And then electronic chime bells can be heard. Footage from the scene showed the front end of the plane sheared off roughly where the plane's front doors are located.
Gosh.
Nearby Newark Liberty International flights were grounded for about an hour. Wow. So, I mean, there has to be video of this out there somewhere at this point, right?
I would think so.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I saw the video. I've heard that audio, and I've seen the video post-accident with the way everything was looking at on the runway or wherever they were. It was really tragic, obviously, and you can see how the pilots lost their lives because that first nose of the jet was gone.
So you mentioned, back to these TSA lines where I guess it was ridiculous again this weekend and the shutdown continuing. I don't know who's going to pay for this politically, if anyone, but the Democrats don't seem to be taking as much heat as Republicans normally would if they were the ones kind of forcing something like this, especially during a war like what we're seeing right now. But Katie Britt, you know, she's the, from what I've understood, the lead negotiator for the Republicans when it comes to getting this DHS deal done. And so far, not much success. Yesterday, she was on the Sunday briefing on Fox News. You mentioned how Elon has offered to pay these TSA workers. Britt, she's wanting Congress or the Senate to go without pay until they come to a deal. Here's some of what Senator Britt had to say.
Peter, I believe if Congress wasn't getting a paycheck right now, that they would be much more eager to find a solution about this. And I believe John Kennedy has a bill, and it says that if we don't do our job, and that if people aren't getting paid in the government that have stepped up to serve the United States government, then Congress shouldn't get a paycheck either. I firmly support that. And I think that if that moved through the Senate and the House, that ultimately people will be much more eager to find a resolution. And I am all for it.
Willie, I want to ask you about something else. The other big story this week, which is Epic Fury.
Yeah.
It continues.
So that's just her with TSA there, or with Congress and not getting a paycheck. I mean, they say that all the time.
And it's been used by both sides. We keep an eye on this bill. Who's going to be opposed to it? How loud will their voices be? And what will the reaction to that be? Because, again, it's been introduced now, like, we don't get paid when you don't get paid, kind of, sort of. If you want to put it in simple terms, there's going to be opposition because, you know,
they want to get paid.
Two things. They want to get paid, and they like to have that leverage of using the unpaid workers as political collateral, I guess.
But you're right, because theoretically there would be zero pushback from the American public, right, on whether those guys and girls get paid or not.
Sure.
So it would just come from within, and they'd have to spin it off as some kind of...
Why are you doing that? Yeah. Why are you opposed to that?
Let's go to the text line. Ozzy, I didn't think we'd have some 9/11 talk here this morning. He says, if a fire truck destroyed the jet in New York, how in the world did a jet fly clear through a concrete and steel building on 9/11? I don't think I'm ready for that conversation this morning, Ozzy, about the 9/11. Maybe another show. DEI texter says, in what way exactly is Dan not MAGA? Continuing our conversation from earlier a little bit.
You have poison in your ears or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm just calling it. Look, it may sound like I'm on Trump's side a lot. I'm really calling it like I see it. I'm reading things. I'm trying to educate myself where I can make up my own mind. I'm not MAGA. I just happen to agree with a lot of what he's done so far, and you don't.
Here's Natalie. He says, I am legal immigrant MAGA, and I support DJT 100, except the Iran conflict. I do feel, just like many others, that Israel dragged us in. Now we saw Iran's cards. Let's get back home to our issues and act accordingly when it comes to the Middle East. Trust but verify, and verify again. Natalie, that's exactly the sense that I'm getting from most people, especially people around my age that liked a lot of what Trump and Vance had to say going into this past election. And, you know, getting involved in the Middle East, it's fine if we can get in and get out and be done with it and make the world a safer place. But how does this help the midterm polls? How does this help make America great again?
It helps make the world great. Think of it on the other end, that if it works, and if we have the intel that says we're close, this is going to work, it changes everything. It's not just a conflict that's a pain in our neck for a while, and we're anxious about it all. And a lot of what Trump has done has made me very anxious. But if this actually works, and there is a regime change to the degree that that Iran is now a nation that can get along with its neighbors and work with Europe, the United States of America, and become a completely different character in that neighborhood, To me, and what I have read and heard, it's worth it. And that's just my, you know, everyone's got an opinion here.
Yeah.
So that does not make me MAGA. That just means that I agree with this procedure as it is, and I trust him to get it done in the end. I may be wrong, but that's where I'm at.
Pete texting in says, finish the job, stop whining.
Yep.
What is a finished job, though? Because in my opinion, and we'll see, but it feels like Iran is just going to have these hardcore religious extremists that pop up like moles out of the ground here for the next however many years. And despite the head being cut off the snake, that they're going to continue, you know, causing terror for as long as they can. Well, and
causing
terror, acts of war. I don't know.
Well, causing terror is one thing by these religious zealots. It's another thing to be, you know, state sponsored. That's what we're going to wipe out. Is this nation is sponsoring all this stuff? They have a lot more resources than just any given, you know, crazy out there that says I'm going to do what I'm going to do, a lone wolf or a smaller group. The nation itself needs to be reformed to the point that they're not a threat. And if we can get to that point, I think that's a good place to be.
I agree completely. If it goes that way. But you said the nation itself needs to be reformed, and that was kind of what MAGA was completely against just like 2 years ago, was reforming any more nations and figuring out our own backyard first. It does.
I think it's all interconnected, though. Yeah. I think our backyard is that. That's our backyard, because with the 2,400-mile missile over the weekend by Iran.
Send it to Diego Garcia, right?
Yeah. What happens in Europe is definitely going to help define where the United States is in the future. If Europe doesn't get their act together, that affects us. We can't put our head in the sand.
Billy D, let's see here. He says, I've heard reports that Ukraine is actually sending drones to Iran to knock out a lot of their drones. And yeah, I think Ukraine said they sent 200 of their like top drone experts to the Middle East to help the U.S.
Isn't that crazy?
With this.
What a twist.
Well, they certainly have seen their share of them over the last 4+ years. The future is Skynet. Watch out. The T-800s are coming from a texter there. Great. King of all unnamed texters, because I was talking about Palantir and this Claude AI and the role that it played in planning the strikes.
Yeah, apparently. Initially, right.
And King of all unnamed texters said, great, AI learns from humans first. Let's teach them war. And then says, wretch, to the side there. Jason, he posted the meme of the CNN pollster with the 100% MAGA approval for Trump. He said, so in this meme, it says the whole internet is like WTF after Trump's MAGA poll numbers were released. And honestly, I'm just as stunned as everyone else. That seemed like a poll they were trying to get a rise, you know, out of people. CNN, nothing is 100%, but especially that. This is the most dissension I've seen in MAGA, is whether the war in Iran is the right thing or not.
You know, that's a very good point. But now the defectors are the people, Tucker Carlson and on down. Are they even members of MAGA anymore? And I think CNN is taking that into account. But there's something going on with this CNN and this nerdy guy chirping all these stats out and all these polls and making such a no. Trump is the winner. It's out of place, but for some reason, I think that CNN's got their own reasons for doing it.
Well,
so.
Other than him, and who's the guy, the Republican they have on the round table there that every now and then just destroys the rest of the liberals that are there with
Hansen
him?
Or something like
other
that.
Other than those two, CNN doesn't really have anyone that goes viral anymore for that kind of thing.
You're right.
Squirrel Vereen says, remember after the successful Venezuela operation, Dems, Libs, and Trump derangement syndrome heads dismissed it by heckling the president on why he wouldn't do the same with Iran. Now they whine about the successful strikes in Iran, which accomplished a similar objective as heads of state are concerned. At the very beginning, CB Carl says, good morning, guys. My first deployment was on Diego Garcia. It's a really small target in the middle of the Indian Ocean. If Iran could hit it, that would be quite a shot. Paul says, Victor Davis Hanson, not at Stanford anymore. And then also, I mentioned my brother moving nearby Starkville. So I'm going to see if I can make it up there for some Mississippi State stuff just to, you know, visit another SEC hometown, and I asked for some suggestions. Haywood says, Stark Vegas, catch a game or two at State. The atmosphere is like no other. Golf is good as well. Brother must be at Columbus AFB. Yes, and we did play a little golf over the weekend, too. Had some good time up there.
And not to defend what I said about Victor Davis Hanson and his current employment, the post that I see on X says, no U.S. analyst knows better how to cut through the fog of war than Stanford University professor Victor Davis Hanson. So is he there or not? I don't know, but I know
he has a really good newsletter. I'll tell you that
he was known for his work at Stanford for years, and his background is very agricultural and hardworking, and he's in so many ways He really doesn't fit in at Stanford.
Yeah, you could say that. Moz says, Dalton, you have to take in a Mississippi State baseball game at Duty Noble Field. It was a spectacle back in the 80s when I played at Auburn and has to be a sight now. We've had quite a few local players make their way to Mississippi State.
Here we have.
The years. Yeah. Fish River Frank says, do not go to a football game in Stark Vegas. My ears are still ringing, and that was 10 years ago. And Chris says, I should hit up Left Field Lounge and Lil Dewey's. Don't sit anywhere else in the stadium. Oh, Chris knows what he's talking about over here. And he says Starkville Cafe is great for a meat and three lunch on weekdays. You'll be very welcomed in Starkville. So I'll work on that. I'm going to make some Starkville trips, I think, coming
up
here.
If it's 20 minutes away from where your brother lives and you're going up there to see him, you know, if you have permission from the missus or if you want to take her along, you know, with the, I would go to a college town like that. It'd be cool.
I think I'd rather go to a Mississippi State baseball game than a football game. Am I crazy on that?
No, I don't think you are so at all. Good, more quaint. You got the restaurant there in left fielder.
When's Auburn playing over there? That's when I need to check it out. 8:51. We'll be right back.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
So, text line, and we want to get to this thing about the MFRD, Mobile Fire Rescue, what they had to do yesterday. But Jason says, why do we even have a military if even the thought of using them sends people crazy? We all know that we signed up for and the risks of it. We can never take the option off the table. I guess where I kind of stand on this whole thing right now is I'm not anti-military action in general. And I know that those Marines that are over there want to fight more than anything right
sure,
now.
Sure, yeah.
And those pilots want to drop bombs more than anything right now. That's what they signed up for. And they get sad when they don't get to, you know, play the role that they have wanted to play their entire lives.
Look,
so,
I'm friends with Navy SEALs. You don't have to tell me that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they are dogs on a chain.
Yeah.
And they want that chain to snap so they can go do their job.
Exactly. And I fully get that and understand that. And so I'm not against military action. I'm just wondering, you know, if this turns into something like what we saw with Iraq,
mm-hmm.
where we just end up over there for a very long time.
Afghanistan.
Exactly. So, and I really don't think the odds are that that's going to happen again. It's just we're in a super precarious position right now, and you have to put a whole lot of faith in the decision makers. And that's kind of the main thing I've gone with is, why would Trump do this right now in the worst time politically to do this heading into the midterms unless he had some strong intel that this is the best place and time to act? But then if you keep following yourself down that rabbit hole, you go, did Israel make some intel seem like it was
too
more
good
of a,
to be true.
A slam dunk than it actually was?
Well, we've got a CIA, too. You know, they're not
sitting pretty good at what they're doing.
Playing checkers. So we can probably rely on some of what they've got to say, too. But
And Pete says, regime change. Did we leave Hitler? So keep the text coming. 251-343-0106. Shout out to Mobile Fire and Rescue.
This is an amazing story. And good job by you putting these stories together so we could get a full context on what they were dealing with.
And hopefully the person who was in this house fire yesterday is okay. A house fire on Plover Street. One person ended up being sent to the hospital. So you had this fire at a single-story home, and firefighters were told that three people might be trapped, but that there were several oxygen tanks inside the home. MFRD said all three occupants were actually outside of the home before their crews got there. One person ended up being treated and transported to the hospital. But the homeowner said that they think a bullet came through their home, through the wall, struck an oxygen tank, and sparked the blaze. And you had officers who said, yeah, there were reports of gunshots in the area around the time the fire began. But then right after that, so they're doing a post-incident review on the scene. And you know how things are when something happens in a neighborhood. Everyone comes out and they're watching what's going on.
Sure.
So they said a man came running towards the fire crew there carrying a newborn, like as newborn as a newborn can be, and calling for help because a nearby woman had just given birth. I think I read that she was like gave standing birth or something. I don't know. Firefighters immediately shifted into emergency care for both mother and baby. Chief Jackson said the moment showed exactly why crews train the way they do, but I mean, that is like a 7 o'clock TV drama.
Exactly. Like, don't miss this tonight on CBS. and but it was real life, and it was Maysville tonight on CBS. Yeah,
time for Mayor Spiro to get that key to the city out and ready for somebody. Coming up on the Jeff Four Show, Shane Stringer in hour one, Dale Jackson in hour two, and Dick Brubaker in hour number three.